So if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and look with me in Jeremiah chapter 23, Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 9, the Word of God says this, "Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine hath overcome, because of the Lord and because of the words of His holiness. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also the prophets of Jerusalem, an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say to everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he hath executed, until he hath performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken unto them, yet they prophesied. But if they stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doing. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said, that prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own hearts. Which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I have sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And when this people, or the prophet, or a priest, shall ask thee, saying, what is a burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus shall ye say to every one to his neighbor, and to every one his brother, what hath the Lord answered, and what hath the Lord spoken? And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden. For ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus shalt thou say to the prophet, what hath the Lord answered thee, and what hath the Lord spoken? But since you say the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because ye say this word, the burden of the Lord, and I have sent unto you, saying, ye shall not say the burden of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I, even I, will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you, and the cities that I gave you, and your fathers shall cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in Jeremiah chapter 23? Jeremiah 23 in verse 9, the phrase, the words of His holiness. The words of His holiness. And with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach a message about that. The words of His holiness. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And thank you indeed that you are a God worthy to be worshiped and worthy to be served. And Lord, how precious is your precious word and how important your word is to you. Lord, you even say in the Bible that your word is above your own name. And yet we find people who abuse your word, neglect your word, preach from their own hearts. They have visions and stuff that are outside of your word, and you are not happy with it. You are not pleased. Lord, I'm asking that you would help all of us to have a biblical view of your Bible because of this message, and that we would have a better understanding of some of these other works that are out there. Lord, set things in order now. Let this passage be clear. Let it be illuminated in our sight. And once again, this is a powerful message. I dare not preach this my own. So the best I know how, I surrender myself to you. And Lord, use me as your instrument tonight to get your word across. And that you would do your own work through your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In dealing with the scriptures, we've come to a place where we're talking about canonicity of the Bible, and we're answering the question, what about these so-called lost books? What about these extra biblical books? What about these dreams and visions? What about something like the Book of Mormon, which supposedly came from an angel to Joseph Smith, and they gave him some golden tablets that was written in Hebrew? By the way, Joseph Smith couldn't read Hebrew. And what he did in the middle of the night, took these golden tablets and he translated from these golden tablets from a language he did not know into a book. And then when he was done, the golden tablets disappeared. The angel never appeared to anyone else. And he presented to everyone the Book of Mormon, which says it's another revelation of Jesus Christ. That's outside the Bible. Someone will say, well, what about the Apocrypha? The Apocrypha is an extra biblical book. It is not canonized, but some people say this is what we need to study. This is what we need to study in churches. What about other traditions that have come up? For example, I was reading today in my studies, I was reading today how the Roman Catholic Church says we officially do not just use the Bible. They said, you are foolish just to use the Bible. We believe that there are other traditions that are just as good and equivalent to the Bible, which we go by. And I'm not paraphrasing that much. That's exactly what the website said. In fact, they were also selling a book off that website telling you how you can interpret your dreams for God. And you can get your own revelation from God through your dreams. You see, this is exactly what this passage is talking about. What about the charismatic friends that we have that when they speak in tongues, they say, I received a word from the Lord, and they equate their word from the Lord the same level as the Bible. What about all of these extra things? Well, in dealing with them, we have to have a biblically defensible position. We have to say, what does the Bible say? And we have to be very, very careful in dealing with these other books. Dealing with the Gospel of Barnabas or the story of Mary Magdalene and all the other stuff that goes on. We have to be very careful. Why? Because of this passage here, you can see that God is not playing around. He is very, very serious in His warnings and dealing with something that counteracts the words of His holiness. The first thing I'd like to show you, now, in this passage, and before I introduce that, I'm also going to deal with the idea of not just the extra biblical books, but the idea of people that are preaching outside of the Bible. There may be some good independent Baptist people that abuse this, not because they're preaching from an extra biblical book, but they're not preaching the Bible at all. For example, you could have a guy who puts up a ketchup bottle and says, I want to preach to you about ketchup, and preaches the whole hour message on the ketchup bottle. That is outside the Bible. And you may laugh and snicker, but I've seen it done. We need to stick with the Bible. Why? Because that's what God gave us, and that's what God wants us to have. So I'm not just hitting these extra biblical books. I'm also talking about the idea of visions and dreams. I'm talking about the idea of preaching outside of the Word of God. So the first thing I'd like to show you is the problem with their preaching. The problem with their preaching. Notice with me in verse number 14, we see the problem with their preaching, first of all, is their immoral lifestyles themselves, the immoral lifestyles of the preachers, the priests, the prophets. Notice verse 14. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. Now, this is God speaking. God says, let me tell you, I saw the preachers in Jerusalem and I saw a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. Now, if we just stop there, that'd be horrible enough. These are men who are walking in adultery. These are men who speak lies, and they're supposed to be the prophets and the priests. They're supposed to be the ones carrying the word of God. But notice, it goes on. They strengthen the hands of the evildoers. That by their false preaching, what they do is they strengthen the people who are doing wrong and making the people feel like, well, I could go ahead and do whatever I want. It's kind of like someone who is able to commit a certain type of sin, and they come to church or come to a mass or come to a confessional or whatever religious thing they do, and they feel like they get patted in the head and say, you're all right, you go ahead and do whatever you want, God still loves you. And they go off and do the same thing again. Now, it doesn't matter what type of church you're in, Catholic, Baptist, Pentecostal, Mormon, Methodist, whatever. This happens in all of them. Different types of preaching, it doesn't matter what it is. They pat people on the head often and said, it doesn't care. God is love. He'll forgive you. And if you do this penance, if you do this thing, if you do whatever else. Now, I'm not saying that God is not a God of forgiveness. He does forgive, but He does not want us to continue in the same sins. Notice as it goes on in verse 14, I have seen also the prophets of Jerusalem, a horrible thing. They commit adultery and they walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doeth return from his wickedness. Do you know what God always wants? He wants people to turn from their wicked ways. He wants the drunkard to stop drinking. He wants the whoremonger to stop committing that sin. He wants the druggie to stop doing drugs. He wants the liar to stop lying. He wants the cheater to stop cheating. He wants the thief to stop thieving. God wants us to turn from our evil ways. And good, solid Bible preaching will bring conviction in people's hearts and either cause them to either change or finally reject God altogether, but that's still the two choices. Good biblical preaching will make people miserable if they don't change. That's what good Bible preaching will do. They cannot be comfortable. They cannot sit in service after service after service in their sin under good Bible preaching. But the problem is that without good Bible preaching, people come in, they have no problems. They could be living in adultery, come in, say, sing some praises, do some hallelujah in the Lord, get their lighters out and kind of like a little concert, sway, start crying, have an emotional experience, walk out and say, I met with God, and go back to their sin. That's not Bible preaching. Bible preaching does not produce that. Bible preaching will not allow people to be comfortable within their sins. Notice how God compares these people. He says, they are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. What is the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah? Basically, they purposely rejected God and said, I'll do whatever I want. That was the basis. Now, we know there were specific sins tied to Sodom and Gomorrah. And by the way, you see those type of sins within all of those churches that have bad Bible, doesn't preach the Bible. And you see them all, and it's getting worse and worse. And God says, you know how I see those church? You might as well have Sodom Baptist Church. You might as well have Gomorrah Methodist Church. You might as well just nickname them all. Wouldn't that be horrible? No one would show up to those. But that's what God sees them as. It is not pleasing to Him, and it is not cute to Him. Notice as it goes on, the problem with their preaching. Notice verse 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not to the words of the prophets that prophesy to you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Here, what's some of the problem with their preaching? They speak from their own heart and not from the Lord. They speak from their own heart and not from the Lord. You know, I understand what some people say, but they said, God gave me a message and He placed it on my heart. And some of those are good folks that say that. And sometimes they don't realize what they're saying. But I don't want to hear something from man's own heart. I want to hear God's word. You see, our heart is wicked and deceitful and desperately so. The Bible says, who can know it? You know, you can't even know your own heart outside of the Word of God. Your own heart can lie to you. It can deceive you. It can make you think that you're right when you're not. I don't want to hear something from some man's heart. I want to hear the Word of God. You see, even the poorest preacher who may not speak well, who may have to read it, as long as he's reading the Word of God and preaching the Word of God, God will do a work. It doesn't matter how good of an orator that person is, how great of a public speaker he is, but if he is not preaching from the Word of God, it is vain. That word vain means empty. Notice again verse 16. Thus saith the Lord God of hosts, hearken not to the words of the prophets that prophesy to you. They make you vain. Make you empty. They speak a vision of their own heart and out of the mouth of the Lord. I've been to a bunch of meetings where they say King James Bible and they swing off the chandeliers and people are shouting. I've been to camp meetings where they open up the first hymn, Oh Victory in Jesus, and people are shouting and running around the church and you're like, what in the world's going on? And there's a lot of excitement, but when you leave the meeting you say, you know what, I didn't learn anything about the Word of God. It was a lot of fluff. And I'm just picking on Baptist churches now. There's a lot of preachers who could preach a lot of fluff, but not teach the Word of God, and they make people light. They make people vain because they get used to the fluffy Word of God, the whipped cream topping. You know, the whipped cream has nothing to it, right? I mean, it may be good dessert, it may whatever else, but people don't need dessert every meal. They need the meat of God's Word.
They need God's word. And if you get a diet of meat, you become strong on the word of God. If you live off sweets, you become fluffy. All right? Just to use a physical thing up here. We want strong, healthy Christians. So the problem with their preaching, the immoral lifestyle they live, they speak from the heart, not from the Lord. Notice verse 17. Here's a result of their preaching. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say to everyone that walketh after the imagination of their own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Here, they make even those that hate God feel good about their sins. That's what their preaching does, is that they make even those that hate God feel good about their sins. Notice this, verse 17. They say still unto them that despise me. So who's the audience of these specific people? People who hate God that said, I hate God, I don't like you. And they say, they make those people say, or they say to those people, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they shall say to everyone that walketh after the imagination of their own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Don't you understand that God hates sin? And someone who's living in adultery, God will not allow them to get away with that? Don't you understand that someone who is a pathological liar and who is saved, God will not allow you to get away with that? God will continue to correct that behavior. He will not allow you to continue in sin. You know, it's amazing how our world develops. Do you know that in Nashville, Tennessee, they have what is called the Atheist Church? It's a place where atheists can come and they say, hey, we want to go to a place where we have the good music. By the way, they still use contemporary Christian music because it doesn't convict anybody. They like the encouraging music. They like the fellowship. And we want a encouraging message. And they've developed an atheist church in Nashville. And it's not the only place. But they say, we want the whole thing of church. We just don't want God to be mentioned in there. And by the way, those same people feel comfortable in other fluffy churches just like that. By the way, Baptist churches too. I'm not just picking on one place. I'm going to pick on the Baptist people because I know them specifically. But it covers the whole gambit. It covers everyone. That what happens is that people can come in their sin and the preacher will say, don't worry about that. God is love. And he smiles with all of his golden teeth and sells out the Houston Arena and tell everyone that you're all right. It doesn't help anybody at all. And it makes those people who hate God should not feel comfortable in a church service. They should be convicted for the purpose of being drawn back to the Lord. Notice, what else is wrong with their preaching? We saw their immoral lifestyles. We saw that they speak from the heart, not from the Lord. That they even make those that hate God feel good about their sins. Notice this, verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. Here, they were never sent by God in the first place. There was another famous man who was one of the greatest evangelists in America in the 70s and 80s. He was explaining how he was getting ready to preach a big revival conference for thousands of people. And he was sitting in his hotel room watching TV. That's how he was preparing to study. And an angel came between him and the TV and said, hey, I want you to preach this. He said, okay. And the angel disappeared. He continued to watch the game or the TV. No! If an angel popped into this room right now, you know where everyone us would be? Under the pews, hiding. You know, you see how casual and flippant he was. You know, by the way, God did not send them. God didn't say, go preach a big fluffy message. He did not send them. He did not send them. This is what God said. There is a lot of preachers who are behind pulpits who are not God sent. And you said, you're not making friends with the other clergy people. I'm just preaching what the Bible says. And the problem is that we don't have Bible preaching today. And that's the problem. Notice as it goes on in verse number 25. It says, I have heard what the prophets had said, a prophet said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of deceit of their own hearts. Here they mix their dreams, or we could say it this way, their thoughts and opinions, into the messages. You know, as a preacher, we should be honest and tell people when this is my opinion. And we should not make our opinions equivalent to Scripture. These prophets here said, you know, I had too much pepperoni pizza last night and I had a dream of a 60-foot Jesus. And this Jesus was there protecting me like the big brother always, or whatever nonsense they come up with. This is not Bible preaching. They should not put their thoughts. They should not be their opinions. And if they, you know, I think if they should be honest, that if there's something that's my opinion, I should be honest enough to say, hey, this is what I believe. But when it comes to the Word of God, this is what God says. And that we should not mix our thoughts and opinions. Once again, I don't want to hear what's on someone's heart, and I don't want to hear someone's thoughts and opinions. Man, honest times, I don't want to hear their whole stories either. They may have some cute illustrations, but I want to hear the Bible. The Bible is what's going to help people. So here, the problem with their preaching, and we've seen some of the things. Notice a second thing, if you wouldn't mind, from this text. The effects of their preaching. The effects of their preaching. What type of effects does it have when people have the fluffy, light preaching? What type of effects when they preach from their heart? What type of effects when they preach something other than the Word of God? What kind of effects do their preaching have? Notice verse 17 again. Verse 17, they say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they should say unto everyone that walketh in the imagination of their own heart, no evil shall come upon you. First thing that we see is that false preaching takes away holy living. False preaching takes away holy living. You know, good preaching tells people how to live right, how to get closer with the Lord, how what God says not to do, what God says to do, so we can be pleasing unto Him. But false preaching takes away holy living. Hey, if it's all right for people to commit fornication, people are going to do it. If it's all right for people to lie, people are going to do it. And it takes it away. And we can't trust Christians anymore because Christians will live like the rest of the world and there's no holiness. There's no separation. There's no difference in their life. Notice something else we see, verse 27. Verse 27. Which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, and as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. A second effect that their preaching has is that their preaching take the people's thoughts away from God. That people take take people's thoughts away from God. Do you know that what the Word of God does and good Bible preaching does is it draws people close to God? It makes people think about the Lord. But unbiblical preaching makes you think of everything else and replace. You don't think about God. You just think about how good you are and you think about all that mysterious doctrine. You know, sometimes when people get false doctrine, that's all they want to talk about. And it may be a supposed Bible doctrine, but they don't mention God. They want you to know about how I got something in the mail the other day that said every preacher who preaches that God is coming before the tribulation is a false prophet and full of deceit. And I got one of these videos in there. I guess I'm a false preacher to them. But you know what? It doesn't mention the idea about God. It draws people away to an event. By the way, when it talks about the second coming of Christ, we're talking about the Christ of the second coming. We're not as worried about the events as we are looking for the Christ who is coming. And all that distracts from the idea that Christ is coming back and makes people look at the signs and wonders and things that have to be fulfilled. And they're not thinking about Christ. They're looking for the Antichrist. They're looking for these other things. And it distracts them. When you get someone who talks about the aliens or dreams or whatever else, it makes people want to study the aliens and dreams and whatever else instead of search for God. When people preach on ketchup bottles, everyone goes home and thinks about the ketchup bottle. And they don't think about God. Unbiblical preaching takes people's thoughts away from God. Bible preaching brings people back to the Lord because He is the answer of everything. I have no answer. I'm not even a good person. It's all about Him. We want you to follow Him and not me. Or as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. But as long as we're looking at Him, He's the goal. He's what we're looking at. So the preaching takes the people's thoughts away from God. Notice something else in verse number 30. It says, therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. This type of preaching makes people know less about God's word and confuses them. This preaching makes people think or know less about God's word and confuses them. We live in a time of confusion in churches today. People don't know what they believe or why they believe it. Do you know they actually did statistics, and this is old already, but they said that 30 years ago, the average church person knows more scripture than the average preacher does today. Think about that. 30 years ago, the average church person knows more about the Bible than the average preacher does today. You see, we're become a biblically illiterate society, and we're knowing less and less and less about the Bible, but we know more and more about fluff. We know more and more about ketchup bottles. We know more and more about picking ourselves up by the bootstraps. We know more and more how we love that music and how it makes us go, or whatever goes on. We know less and less about the Bible, and it allows for confusion, and people don't know what they stand for anymore. They don't know what the Bible says, and they are confused. They are confused. Notice something else the Bible says, verse 32. Behold, I am against them. You know how many times God says I am against them in this passage? That'd be a good thing to go and count up. I tell you, this is a serious, serious message about Bible preaching. And God is very serious about it. Verse 32 again. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I have sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Here we see that it causes people to err in living for the Lord. That's what it says. It caused my people to err by their lies. That what happens is that people are being told that right is wrong and wrong is right. It's all right if you lie at work. It's all right. It's all right if you steal from your boss's time. It's all right. Just as long as you're sorry about it. It's all right if you got a divorce or working on a divorce, but you're living with another lady and you have a child by her, but you could go ahead and come and it's all right and pat people on the head. I understand people got sin. I understand they got things, and we don't want to make them oppress them. We want to help them and lift them up. Well, what happens is that people will actually cause to err in their living. You know, there are certain things the Bible says that we as Christians are not to do. The Bible says not to set any evil thing before thine eye. You know, if we started being specific about that, you'd probably say, please stop, preacher, please stop, because you're hitting my favorite show, you're hitting my favorite video game, you're hitting my favorite song, you hit my favorite whatever else. The Bible says that. And people think it's all right to watch HBO and whatever else. It is not all right. It is not all right. It is not pleasing to God. Ladies, it is not all right to watch daytime television, pretty much of any sort. Maybe The Price is Right, maybe. But, you know, the soap operas are not good. Oprah Winfrey does not know God. Those other people, they're garbage. I know I get in lots of trouble, but I'm trying to say the Bible is against a lot of this stuff. And the people think it's fine, and they have no problems with it. And what happens is that their life, they take further and further steps away from the Lord. Notice another word in here that's important. Behold, I'm against them that prophesy false dreams and the Lord and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Notice that word lightness. You see, what happens with these people is they don't make God big. They say, hey, me and JC, we're friends. Let me tell you, my Lord and Savior is not JC. He is Jesus Christ, my God, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. You see, whenever we see our friend, excuse the word again, JC, he's no longer my God, he's my friend. And I could get along with him, and we could go hang out, and we could do all these other things, and it's no big deal. And if he tells me something, I just kind of take it as a suggestion from a friend. No, when Jesus speaks, he is God, and he expects us to obey. You see, when we have a light view of God, we don't obey God. That's just as simple as it is. When God is not a big G God, we don't obey. We don't obey. And their preaching makes light of the Word of God. It makes it vain. Notice verse 36, if you wouldn't mind. Here's some big stuff here. Verse 36. And the burden of the Lord. Notice that word burden. The word burden in this context here carries the idea of an oracle or burden of the lip. And then it will go into talking about the burden of the shoulder. See what happens, the burden of the Lord ye shall mention no more. So this is what they say, I got a word from the Lord. I got a message from the Lord. I had pepperoni pizza last night and God spoke to me. I keep saying that, but again, people say it. But here they're saying, the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden. For ye have perverted the words of the living God and the Lord of hosts. What they have done is they've changed the word of God. And what happens, because of it, they have put a burden that God not intended people to have. For example, there's a doctrine called Calvinism. And the idea of the Calvinism is God has predestined some people to go to heaven and he has predestined some people to go to hell. Do you know that if you don't know you're one of the chosen, that's a big burden. You don't know whether you're going to heaven or not. I had a young man who choked on that doctrine, and I had him weeping in my truck, and I was counseling with him and begging him and trying to clarify scripture, and the whole time tears running down his face, and he says, I just don't know if I'm the elect. I don't know if I'm chosen. You see, that's a burden on him. Hey, when you take the Bible and you put it on a context and you tell someone they can lose their salvation, you know what happens? They have a burden on them. They don't know if they're saved, they're not saved. They don't know how many sins it takes to get lost again. That's a burden on them. You get someone who says, you have to do this and 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 do this in order to go to heaven. You don't know if you've done all of this. You don't know if you met the Christ. You know, that puts a burden on people. God doesn't want unnecessary burdens. With him comes freedom. With him comes liberty. With him comes joy, gladness, and peace. God offers all of that. And so where the people are thinking they're helping them by saying, God loves you, with no conviction of sin, there is no help. When people say hell doesn't really mean hell, it just means a peaceful sleep. Well, then why did Jesus die? And it takes away the help that they need until you realize that you deserve hell because you've offended a holy, righteous God because of your sins. You cannot be saved. There's nothing to save you from. We have to have the bad news in order to get the good news. And this type of preaching takes away the bad news, takes away the idea that God is a holy God. One more thing I want to show you from this passage here is the proper form of preaching. The proper form of preaching. And you guys have listened very patiently and very well. Thank you. Let's see the proper form of preaching. Verse number 22. But if they stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doing. You know what good Bible preaching does? Is it causes people to change their lives. It causes their lives to change. Good Bible preaching changes lives. There's not a single sin and there's not a single problem that cannot be fixed by a good Bible message. A good Bible message will fix that problem, fix that sin, draw you close to the Lord. Good Bible preaching changes lives. Notice something else, verse 23 and 24. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in his secret places, that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? You know what good Bible preaching does? It makes us aware of our accountability towards the Lord. God says, I'm not a God who's afar off. I'm a God that's right there. And there's nowhere that you can't hide that I can't find you. You understand that all of us one day will stand before God and give an account? And good Bible preaching will make us realize that I will stand before God and give an account for my life. I'm going to have to give an account. Hey, there is a payday someday. Someone once said that life is like a buffet line. You can get whatever you want, but there's a cashier at the end. There's a payday someday. And good Bible preaching lets us realize we are accountable to God. Unbible preaching, unbiblical preaching doesn't bring that accountability. They try to make you forget about it. Notice something else we see in verse 28. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat? Hey, good Bible preaching should be clear on what God's word is and what man's opinion is. Hey, good Bible preaching should be clear on what God's word is and what our opinion is. A good Bible preacher is going to say, this is what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. And then our opinion say, I understand this is my personal opinion. You do with it as you want. For example, my personal opinion, I prefer pizza over ice cream. That's not Bible. That's not necessary, okay? If there's something that comes in the text that I have to draw something from, I want to be honest enough and say, this is what I believe is happening. This is what I believe this is a result of. But I should be honest in saying that it's my opinion, and I should be very clear when it says, this is what the Bible says. What the Bible says. Notice we go on, verse number 29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Here we learn what good Bible preaching, God's word can do its own work. God's word can do its own work. I learned a long time ago that God never promised to bless my preaching, but he did promise to bless his word. So the more the word of God that's in my preaching, the more that I could expect God to bless it. God's word can do its own work. You know, someone says, man, it must be hard to preach like you do. Let me tell you, it's not. I just take the Bible, read the text, explain the text, and apply the text. I know so many preachers who are up on Saturday nights, and they call me from time to time, and they'll say, oh, I don't know what I'm going to preach tomorrow. I got to come up with something. I got to work up something. I don't have to do that. You know why? I just read the text, explain the text, and apply the text. Now, I'm not saying I don't study. I do a lot of study. But let me tell you, I don't have to come up with a message. I just got to preach the Bible, explain what it says. I mean, it is easy, especially when you learn how to just see what the Bible says in the first place. Just let the Bible do its own work. I don't have to come up with cute and fancy. By the way, you guys have put up with me for the last several months. You see, God's word can do its own work. Just let it do its own work. We don't have to get fluffy, and we can still enjoy service. You guys have told me you've enjoyed the services. We can enjoy the services without the fluffiness all the time. You may get fluff every now and again. It's good for dessert every now and again, but you need a steady diet of the Word of God. Notice as it goes on. God's Word could do its own work. Verse 34. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that say, the burden of the Lord, even I will punish the man in his house. Notice, as it said here, it is the burden of the Lord. You know, instead of receiving a word from the Lord, preachers should use the Bible, God's actual word. You know, if you were to summarize this whole passage here and say one thing, this would be the summary statement. This would be the thesis statement. Instead of receiving a word from the Lord, preachers should use the actual word. You know, that's simple. Again, I don't have to come up with a message. I just got to preach the word of God. Let God's word do it. And by the way, I don't preach to please you. I preach to please him. He's the one I have to give an account for. This is his word. I got to make sure I'm using his word faithfully. And that means from time to time people will not like the message. And that's not because they have a problem with me. They have a problem with God's word. And I'd say, what does the Bible say? Then respond. Either accept it or reject it, but it's God's word. The problem they have is with Him. My job is to preach His word. And that's the whole idea that God's getting across here. Preach my word, preach my word, preach my word. Stop getting your own stuff. Preach my word, preach my word. Notice one last thing here. What about the proper form of preaching? Verse 37. Thus shall thou say unto the prophet, what hath the Lord answered thee? What hath the Lord spoken? You know what we need to be looking for instead of, I've got a word from the Lord? We got to figure out, what has God said? Just look and see what God said in the first place. How do we see God? What has God told us to do? How does this help us to know Him more? These are the things we need to look for. Seek God and He shall be found. It's all about God. See, I told you, you guys will not get away from that statement all year. It all begins with God. It all ends with God. God is the goal. When we get to a Bible message, how do I learn about God? When we come to a Bible text, how do I see God? What do I learn more about Him? It's all about Him. So let's apply this. Let's summarize this. How do we get through here? Well, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to warn you, church. I've already taken the time to explain the inspiration of Scripture, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I've explained to you how we got the Bible, that God used holy men who were moved by the Holy Ghost, and they wrote down, they spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, that it was God who used these men as human penmen, and that God has given us 66 precious books, and that He has given a warning, don't take away, don't add to it, is exactly what I wanted you to have. And I'm trying to warn you because this world has gone crazy. And let me tell you, the History Channel, National Geographic, cable channels, anything they say about the Bible is probably wrong. There is no lost books. There's no Gospel of Barnabas. There's no Book of Jasher. There's no other stuff that's running around that said, oh, someone tore it from my Bible. God can protect His own word. God can take care of it. We just got to preach it. But we got to be careful because Satan is a liar. He wants us to be deceived. He wants us to be reading other stuff rather than the Bible. You know, we got to be very careful because it doesn't have to be some old ancient book. Years ago, they had what was called the Left Behind series. And I would run into people and I would ask them my second favorite question, how's your Bible reading? And they said, well, let me tell you, I've been doing my devotions. I've been reading from the Left Behind series and I can't wait to get the next book. I said, what about your Bible reading? Well, there's enough Bible in there that I'm getting everything that I need. No. You see, that's an application. I understand there's devotionals. I was dealing with a preacher and a preacher's wife. And the preacher's wife had stopped reading the Bible on her own. She was reading the little devotionals. By the way, devotionals aren't necessarily bad, but they do not replace your personal Bible reading. You have to read the Bible for yourself. We're not looking for man's opinions. We're looking for what God said. Someone said that you could give a man a Bible and put him in a room, he'll come out a Bible believer. You give a man a Bible and a commentary, he'll come out a heretic. Why? Man's words are not perfect. Commentaries are great, helpful tools. I use them, but I don't rely on them. We have to rely on God's word. So I'm preaching all this. What kind of applications? First of all, don't settle for something that's not Bible preaching. You need to get an appetite for the word of God. And I understand that there may be people that come through the cracks, or you may go to somewhere else and they may preach on the ketchup bottle. Don't stand up and walk out and yell at them. You may feel like it, but don't yell at them. Smile at them. Be nice to them. Understand that maybe they need some help, some encouragement. Don't say, my preacher hates you. Don't tell him that. But you need to develop a good appetite for Bible preaching. By the way, you'll get so spoiled from me that you could barely listen to anyone else when I'm done. If you ever get a new pastor or you get transferred to a different church or whatever else, you're going to get to the place where, man, I really miss the Bible. I'm not saying it's because of something special to me. I'm just trying to say we're going to feed you God's word, and you're going to get an appetite for it. Second thing of all, since this is God's word, spend time in God's word. It is good enough. Someone will say, but the devotionals, they just make them come alive. Read God's word. Spend time with God's word. You need to be reading more of God's word than anything else that you read. Depend on God's word and read the whole thing. You need it. You need to understand what it says. And then don't be deceived. Satan is a liar. You say, but you don't understand. I had a dream last night of a Jesus who was so beautiful. And let me tell you, he spoke to me. Say, no more pepperoni pizza before you go to bed, or Hot Pockets, or whatever it is. You're saying, but do you reject the idea that God speaks to us in dreams? I believe that God guides us with the Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to take that away. But I'm very dubious about dreams, especially with another revelation of Jesus Christ. And then don't be deceived by the cults either. All the cults, everything that is not Bible believer has their own book. Every single one of them. You go to whether it's the Assemblies of God, they have some other resources. You go to the Catholics, they have their own resources. You go to the Mormons, they have their own resources. Hey, you could go to some good Baptist church and they'll have the purpose-driven life and all this other stuff. I'm sorry, I'm in a preaching mode now. Several years ago when that book came out by Rick Warren, they had the purpose-driven life. And the instructions were to tell your Sunday school class to leave their Bibles at home. We're going through this book. No, no, no. We need the Word of God. We need the Word of God. Don't let someone deceive you. Hey, even in our Sunday schools, we teach our people that we may have some other booklets that assist us, but we preach through the Word of God, not through a quarterly, not through a booklet, not through whatever else. We teach through the Word of God. By the way, whenever you guys have a ladies' devotional and some lady is speaking, preach the Word of God. Men, when you get together, don't preach about your fishing trip and how big that thing you caught was. Give them the Word of God. Give them the Word of God. Why? Well, because God said so. I'll just leave it there. This whole chapter is dedicated to the same thought that don't preach man's imagination, preach what the Bible says. And pray for your preacher that he always stays in the Bible and that I don't go crazy and go off on some tangent. I hope I don't, but hey, anyone's capable of anything at any time. Just pray, just pray, just pray. And let us be people of the book. People of the book. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.